They had tears in their eyes after watching the film. They wanted to hug me, and they did. And they tell me, well, I've never felt so much empathy for the victims than watching your film. And thank you for being here, and thank you for coming and talking to us. And do you see us as monsters? And I also want to talk. And I mean, I had incredible interactions with these people. They are people like you and I. It could be your brother, it could be your father, it could be your son, it could be mine, you know? But sometimes we always think it's other people, it's not people related to us, but it's anybody of us could be in that situation. And what are we doing with them? This is the question I want to launch to society. We're starting finally to do something for victims and something for survivors, and that's wonderful, and we need to do much more, and we need many more resources and money and funding. But I think it's time to go to the roots of sexual violence. And by only focusing on victims, we're not looking at the roots. We're just trying to put a Band-Aid to those who have been affected by the issue, but we're not exploring why is there this pandemic of sexual violence, you know? Why are so many little kids, 12-year-old boys that are totally addicted to porn, and they're addicted to sexual violence through porn in their mobiles, and nobody's checking, you know, and they're there, they're doing their thing, and then they come out and they're having relationships at 13, 14, etc. What kind of relationships are they having with those girls or boys? Or, you know, they're informed by anything they have been exposed to. So there is a whole industry of porn that is influencing these 12-year-old boys, teenagers or pre-teenagers, and then influences all their lives and all their relationships with their partners. And that you will have that. But then when I talk to these sexual aggressors that are serving time in prisons, and they start telling me their stories, I realize we don't know anything about you, and we don't want to know, but someone has to listen. So they told me, you know, in your film, everybody talks that, oh, we need to talk, let the women talk, and create spaces for the, you know, potential victims to speak, and so on, and survivors. But what about us? And in a way, it's like, most of us would say, what about you? Nothing, just stay there and rot, you know what I mean? But no, because these people that are right now serving time, there are many, many more outside that we don't know, that maybe one day will come to jail or maybe not, you know. But if we try to understand why these people are here in the first place, we may get cues, we may get tips, understanding. And that understanding we can use, we can implement in our prevention. And we need to do a lot of prevention and education with young kids, boys and girls. And also another kind of myth in our society is that because there is such a huge number of victims that are women, which, I mean, we cannot compare, we are these missing victims that are men. But even today I was talking to someone who is a man, a young man, and we have to acknowledge that there are many of them that have been abused, that have been raped, because those people, if they don't heal, first of all, their lives get totally, you know, confused, etc., and they can have a lot of traumas. But some of them, a small percentage of them, end up being perpetrators, you know. So that's where I feel like we need to work a lot with boys, with men, with young men, and with older men too, but we need to really focus on that and create some kind of hotlines and resources for men and boys who are having a problem right now but don't have anybody to talk to, because that's even more taboo than talking about. Now we're starting to talk about, I've been abused, please help me. But those people who are having the problem, the tendency of wanting to abuse sexually, they're not telling anyone. They're never going to tell anyone unless there is an invitation to say, okay, here's a resource for you. You can call this number. You can come here. We can listen to you. We can help you.
Will this be another film you are working on?
Exactly. I have started interviewing some of them. It's very difficult and very challenging, because even though some of them really wanted to help me, some are already getting to that point where they're going to get out, you know, from prison soon, and now they don't want their faces to be shown, etc. It's not easy to get the authorities, the prison officials, to let you film inside. There's a series of problems, and then there's also a part of society who doesn't want to listen to them or doesn't want to hear. Funders and the prison officials say, no, we can't do a film up with them because then the victims are going to complain, etc. But, you know, I'm determined. I mean, because I really feel the need. It's not this documentary is not a film that I concocted. It's not a film that I scripted, that I decided one day, oh, yeah, intellectually, yeah, we have to do it. No, they asked for it. The sexual aggressors asked for it, and I understood deeply inside of me the need that we have for that, for exploring that world, you know?